It's not hard to feel the sacredness of tonight. In fact, whether you worship in a cathedral, in a hall, maybe in an outdoor setting, the holiness is palpable. You know, in the past, before I was a minister, I could feel it just listening to the carols on the TV, even the carols in the Domain. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. It's not just music, it's not just the lateness of the hour, it's not the candle-lit ambience, it goes way beyond that. For tonight takes us into a place of the soul. It touches us deep, touches us in places that are meaningful, parts that for some of us only get to see the light at Christmas Eve, this moment, right now, right here. There's something bare in us about tonight, and it's the way that it should be. What we feel is not some magic in the air. It's not a Halloween type of night. It's not even a St. Valentine's romantic love in the air. It goes way beyond that. For tonight has got everything to do with the intangible becoming substance. It represents a time when God revealed himself. And in every Christmas, we get to sense and to touch just a little bit more of that again. The privilege to know it anew. We're invited into the story. We get to sense the newness of it ourselves. We all become characters in the eternal drama enacted in all human history, all time, even tonight. So tonight, it's all about Jesus. It's his birth, his entrance into the world, but it's also all about what it means. Let me tell you, his appearance on that Bethlehem star-lit night was no accident. It wasn't some last-minute thought of God to solve the problem of sin in the world. It wasn't a band-aid solution. It was a deliberate, planned-out, human-motivated design from the beginning of time. He had us in mind. When Jesus was born, all the fullness of God's love became apparent. And what's more, his eternal, timeless design reached fruition. God planned Christmas. God planned this way before what we could even comprehend. So this means that Jesus came into the world value-laden, full of meaning, full of promise, full of expectations to deliver. God knew there was going to be a whole host of things Jesus would say and do and be, and that things would change and the world would be so much better, that he'd resolve a whole pile of issues. And the plan was put into motion, and the great news for us is that we get to live with its consequences, with the meaning of it. We get to rely on his faithfulness. We get to walk into his goodness. We enjoy his patience. We're recipients of his eternal wisdom. So when Jesus enters the world, he brings this suitcase load of significance to open and unveil for all of us. So much so, there's so much laden in Jesus and in his character that the Bible has to give him multiple names in an attempt to encapsulate what he means. Some of those names you've heard before. Some of them have been read out tonight. There are others that you and I will never have a hope of understanding this side of heaven. Probably one of the most intriguing ones comes from one of the readings we heard, where Jesus is described as the Word. It says, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It goes on to say that the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Literally, in my own words, I paraphrase it to say, Jesus, the full representation of God, became human and built a house in your suburb. And there's so many more names for Jesus. From the ancient book of Isaiah, we get a paragraph of names for him. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And then here's this whole paragraph of names. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. No one has ever taken those names before. What was being said is that Jesus was going to do something like we've never ever seen, something new, something world-changing. Then when Mary is surprised by the angel and recovers from her shock, she hears the angel tell her that the child that she is to be the mother of is to be called the Son of the Most High. But what's even more incredible was the angel's words to Joseph. This child that he was to be the foster father of has the name above all names. The angel said that his name is to be Emmanuel, literally God is with us. The angels were announcing that even his name was indicative of the relationship that we can have with God. God chooses us. Then the shepherds, simply minding their business out in the paddock, are startled by a whole army of angels who announce, let me quote the exact words, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring to you good news that will cause great joy for all people. For today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord.'" He was the Messiah, the anointed one. He's also the Savior, saving us from what we could not do ourselves, from issues we had no hope of resolving, from rescuing us from traps we've found ourselves in. You can see that not only does Jesus have many names, but that his coming, his existence all those years ago is game-changing. It was then, and it still is now. He still changes lives. Everything is different because of his life, his death, and his resurrection. And you too can be as well. My friends, what this means for us is as deep as it is wide. Jesus coming with all these names, with all this meaning, has everything to do with his authority. He has the authority to make changes. And if you've read anything of the New Testament, of his story, of his life, you see him do it. But here's the thing. He can make those changes now. For us, right here, even at this moment. Let me put it in this simple sentence that I want to hone in on tonight. He gives you a new identity. Indeed, he's entitled to give you a new name. Your old status doesn't just need updating, refreshing, it needs throwing out, disposing of, completely getting rid of, and bringing in a whole new one. Because of Jesus, you don't need to be defined by your old ways, your old faults, your old past issues. You can walk in the future with a new name and a new identity. Let me tell you a story. Excuse the Americanisms, but you'll get the point. A famous preacher by the name of Fred Craddock was a lecturer at a very large theological seminary in the United States. And he tells of a time when he was on a holiday in one of the states of the U.S., and he and his wife were trying to have a quiet dinner away from the busyness of life and at a restaurant when an old man seemed to be coming and pestering them and sort of wanting to talk to them and ask them how they were doing and if they were enjoying the holiday. And eventually it came around to the old man asking Fred, this famous preacher, what he did for a living. And he said, well, I'm a preacher. And he thought that would get rid of it, because often that gets rid of people. "A preacher," he said, "that's great. Let me tell you a story about a preacher." And so the old man sat down at the table. So instead of getting rid of him, he sort of drew him in closer. And he started to speak. And as he did, Fred's annoyance at the interruption to their sort of companion meal was changed to one of profound humility. The old man explained that he was an illegitimate child. That he was born without knowing who his father was. He knew his mother, but to his great shame and to the great stigma in the little country town that he was brought up in, there was shame on him and on his family. And one day a new preacher came to the local church and the old man explained that as a youngster he had never gone to church because of the stigma that was upon him, because he didn't know who his dad was. But one Sunday he decided to go along and hear the new pastor preach, and this preacher was good. And so he went back the next Sunday and again, and he started becoming really regular. And this little boy would always arrive late, and he always leave early in order to avoid talking to anyone. But one Sunday he got so caught up in the sermon that he forgot to leave, and before he knew it, the service was over. And the aisles were filling up, and he rushed to get past people and out the door. But as he did, as he got close to the door, he felt a big, heavy hand on his shoulder. And he turned around to see the preacher. The preacher was a big, tall man, and he saw him looking down at him. And so the preacher looks him in the eye and says, "What's your name, boy? Whose son are you?" And of course, there's standard questions in that day and age, and you can imagine the boy died inside, and the very thing he wanted to avoid was now right in front of him. But before he could say anything, the preacher said, I know who you are. I know whose child you are. You are a child of God. And the old man sitting at Fred Craddock's table said, "You know, mister, those words changed my life." And with that, he got up and left. And the waitress came over to them, and she said to Fred and to his wife, she said, "Do you know who that was?" "No," they replied. Well, the waitress said, "That man has been the 2-term governor of this state." You see, that story changed his life. Tonight, let me release you from your old names. Let me release you from the names that people called you, that have haunted you all your life. Let me introduce you to your new name. Let me tell you that your past doesn't have to define you, that your mistakes, they don't have to form you forever. That your tomorrow can be as new as your first day. So what's your new name? It's not what your parents gave you. It's not what people call you. It's not what you feel at your very heart when you really know who you are. It's not what you've heard screamed at you. You know, my friends, your new name is Child of God. That's who you are, my brothers and sisters, when you bring Jesus into your life. That's the gift given to you. That's the identity you are when you are with Jesus. That's the one who you truly are, child of God, all because of Jesus. Child of God. Let me pray. Father, we thank you that we can indeed be your child. We thank you for your incredible love to us. You are so good that you would welcome us into your family. What a great privilege it is. May we learn with all our heart what that identity is, and may we live out of it. In your name we pray. Amen.